It's time for the Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Stoddard and Johnny Rogers, talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the station that says what Austin sports fans are thinking, The Horn.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight.
Good morning, rider. Austin, Texas. A beautiful day here in the capital city. You are listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. This is Johnny Rogers. We got Casey Stoddard in the house. Good morning, Casey.
Morning.
Say pie.
Say pie.
Benny Buckman in the house, and we have a special guest today.
Special.
Who popped into the tailgate.
Sure.
A former high school All-American here from the 78746. Led Texas to a Final Four appearance back in
2003.
What an ass.
Yeah, I know.
What an ass.
It's like those weren't the best years.
He's like, hey, great introduction.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brad.
I forgot who it was.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Buckman. How we doing, Brad?
I mean, had no stats on
his high
school.
I'm here, man. Yeah.
I mean, nothing in college. None of their accolades while he was here. God. Damn.
Yeah.
McDonald's High School All-American.
Hey, I'm here, though. You know what? I showed up.
From Bozeman, Montana.
For a baby shower this today.
Congratulations, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
You Southwest and your beautiful wife.
To lose my luggage.
Yeah. They're having a rough quarter.
Yeah.
Is that why you look like Yellowstone? God, you've only been there 2 years.
Dude, I know.
You've been there 2 years. I wore this. It's like, come on, rip. Shoot.
You go there one day, you'll see. You're like, right, okay, yeah. I get it.
Was that you that was telling us that you see people change in the airports or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Into their...
Oh, the Montana gear, dude. They got their hats already ready to go. I mean, you know, once you breathe that, you have that first breath of that Montana air, man, you get the show.
You get the show.
See some big grizzlies?
You know, they're all up in the Absarokas and... and the
very knowledgeable of the
local.
Good SAT word.
Peaks. Yeah, yeah.
Great SAT word.
Pronounce that one again.
Yeah.
By the way, right now in Bozeman, Montana, it is 15 degrees.
Dude, I think we got close to 10 inches of snow yesterday.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's but you know it's a high of negative 24 on Monday, high of zero, low of negative 24. So you know it's you gotta have thick skin out there, man.
Literally,
what's a normal winter like? Is zero pretty much normal, or is that pretty harsh?
You know, this is my third winter, so the last two have been pretty mild. This has probably been the harshest since I've been there, but I think you know my boss, when he bought Yellowstone Club, that was 2008, 2009. He said 2009 was their best year, and then. This year's their second best year. So 10 years ago it was really good, and this is kind of the biggest snow they've gotten in a while. So it obviously makes for a great summer. But this is, you know, it's been pretty mild for the last 3 years.
Nice.
Very nice.
Did you have a little Buckman family dinner last night, I hear?
We did.
A little gathering at Verbena.
Where were you guys at?
We went to Verbena.
Oh, yeah, West 6th.
Yeah, a little West 6th.
Solid jump. Spot.
Yeah.
I've been there.
My plans typically happen a day before they're actually supposed to go on. So.
Yeah, communication.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to go to a spot that's wide open.
Yeah, or you have some ties in today.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah. Check out
Canopy, FYI.
Yeah. Well, we've got a pretty full weekend here with some sports going on this weekend. We got the Final Four in the NFL. How are we feeling about that, guys?
I'm going to Eagles.
Oh, what God.
I'm
a Bengals guy.
I mean, who are you guys going to take?
I got Burrows, man. I like Burrows.
Oh, okay. I'm with Brad. Okay. I think Joey. I think it's Joey B's year.
Yeah, okay, calling it for them, Joey B.
I think they
Casey?
Take.
Casey? Are you going to go with Jamie and pick San Francisco?
I can't go against my boy Shano.
Oh.
My best friend coaches. Hey. I like the Niners.
Hey. You see how many coaches have come off of him?
Oh, here we go. You know, Jamie's going to come
Wait,
in.
Wait, can
here.
You name them all?
From Shanahan, or who was Shanahan under? I think that's who we need. He's probably a
These
big
are all
guy.
Under Kyle. These are all guys that came under Kyle.
Okay.
So LaFleur, McDaniel, Green Bay, and Miami, their two head coaches were like his right below him. Like they're his. Those are the two that were paper pushers that, you know, in 09 and other head coaches, right? Okay. So, like,
two.
Clapped, you know, yeah. They're head coaches now, right? So, those two. And then you got Robert Saleh, the Jets. And then, who's the other one? Not Chicago.
So, he's got about four?
He has four.
That's pretty good for a young coach.
And then D'Amico Ryan's about to leave. He's about to be a head coach somewhere. So, I'll be, you know, he's going to have five or, you know what I mean? This was all, oh, and McVay.
Oh, yeah?
Was he under McVay or was McVay under him?
McVay was under him.
Okay.
Because that was...
well, they're both 34 years old.
They hired McVay when they're up there in Washington.
Gotcha.
And it was all of them together with Kyle and Mike and blah, blah, blah. And they all just kind of went with Kyle and then McVay.
And he coached for you at Texas?
No, Texans in Houston.
Oh, Texans.
I played with him at.
God, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he's from, you know, he went to Cherry Creek High School. He went to Cherry Creek. So, you know, I think he's the best coach in the NFL. So I'm going to have to go that route with
there
him.
There you go. All right. You know,
well, good thing we're all spread out in this room. I mean,
I'm going with Burrow just because I don't think the Chiefs. You know, I think Mahomes is going to be somewhat limited. You know, he's not going to be able to do those things that we typically see him doing.
Did y'all see the line go from Kansas City flip to?
Well, KC's still favored by 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm,
it's flipped back and forth.
Yeah. It's going to be a great game. With the 2 o'clock game, the 49ers-Eagles in Philadelphia, I saw Brian Dawkins was going to be there. Kind of motivational coach, guest head, you know, coach for the team.
Did you guys see that little documentary with Dawkins where basically they're documenting the time? Because where did he go? The Broncos?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Philly fans, they're known to be, you know, a bunch of asses, right?
Correct.
Phillies, they're already greasing the poles, starting to grease the poles today.
What I'm saying is, though, is that usually when a player comes back, they talk a bunch of crap to him, you know what I mean, blah, blah, blah. But when he came back in his uniforms, he got a standing ovation. I was like, oh, okay, so they really loved him as a player.
No, Dawkins was a dog. Played for
– I thought he was the Wolverine. That dude
played for 12 years in Philly, finished his career with Denver.
Was he there 12 years in Philly?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's why, yeah.
Guy just brings the wood.
And, if you can live 12 years in Philly, I mean,
you've done it all.
You've done a lot.
But they'll make you a statue over there.
Yeah, did you see the Niners fans put a? Did you send me that, Johnny?
Which one was that?
The Niners fans put a Niners jersey on the Rocky statue.
No, I did not see that.
That's great.
Those are fight.
I like that. I said, come on, 49ers. Like that's you're gonna get your, you know. That's just bulletin board material right there.
Coaches put up in the locker room and tell you this is what they're doing to us.
I will say, after last week's talk, there was a meme sent by Johnny about John Elway quieting, having the ref.
Did y'all see this? Like, so back in the day, the Broncos played in Kansas City. Okay, this is one of Elway's first years. And he's like, you know, about to take the snap, and he's trying to quiet it down, and of course their fans are going to go nuts. So he tattles to the referee, and the referee comes out over the loudspeaker and says, if you do not quiet down, we will issue a 15-yard penalty on the Chiefs. And so, of course, they're going to cheer even louder. But Elway was just like, oh, I can't hear. What's going on?
That was after my dad retired.
No, your dad was there.
No, he was there.
Your dad would have smacked Elway for that.
Oh, man.
But I had never even seen that clip before, but it was absolutely hilarious. Like, literally, the referee was just like, hey, you guys got to calm down or else we're going to throw a flag on Kansas City.
Yeah. How much pull Elway had.
You're right. That's exactly.
I got some crazy stories about Elway.
So do I.
Bet you do, Panama Red.
Oh, yeah. That's got some wild stuff.
Well, I would ask my brothers, you know, just because when they were up there coaching in Denver, you know, they were like, man, John's just the good time guy. Yeah. You know, like when he walks into the place, everybody knows it and everybody wants to buy him a drink and go talk to him and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And And they said you could tell about how where Elway was on the drunk spectrum based on how many buttons were down on his shirt, right? So if he was halfway down his shirt, eh, he was kind of just getting rolling.
Yeah.
But if he had one button left, come on.
That was Sutter in 2005.
Hell yeah. I don't think I ever had my shirt on.
I don't think your shirt was on.
I don't think I ever had my shirt on. I know that.
Speaking of that.
We used to have people at weddings like Casey. I used to have brides come to me before weddings like, hey, Casey, can you keep your shirt on? I was like, I'll try.
In the fine print. Keep your shirt on at all times.
And then their dad hands me a bottle of tequila. The next thing I know, I'm jumping in the
like
pond.
Pete Pablo.
Jumping in the pond at Driftwood Estates. You know?
We got Casey in the pond again. Can we get somebody out there?
God dang it. Who gave him tequila? Golly.
Give him a shirt.
You know, you guys literally were together at one of the highest times of Texas athletics.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
I mean, Baseball, football, and basketball.
That's why it's hard for everybody that was there from that like 6-year span to 8-year span or whatever. It's hard for us to look back and understand where this program is. I'm not saying every sport's dropped, because a lot of them are kicking ass, and a lot of them actually doing way better than
winning
they were.
Winning some of the Sears Cups, the Learfield Sears
Cups. Yeah, you know
Sears
what I'm saying?
Volleyball.
So, like, but
rowing.
The level of competition and athletes that were there at the time, it was like nothing but respect because everybody was, like, really that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you couldn't even talk crap to the swimmers because they're winning national championships.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, hey, that guy has 2 gold medals and he's over here getting hammered with me. It's pretty cool. Or you're drinking Everclear off a cherry. Remember Cherry Bomb?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, a party called Cherry Bomb where they just soak cherries in Everclear.
What?
Yeah, the swimmers had a party called
swimmers
Cherry Bomb.
Swimmers went after it, dude. Swimmers got after it.
Foley and Chris Kemp of the crew?
Dude, I'm talking like they party. Like,
yeah, and they were, you know,
still
off campus.
And still do party. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, nine bandits.
You think back to that time, and, you know, I looked at the university. You know, we were on the staff before Mac Brown. My dad was on the staff before Mac Brown. And so it wasn't really until Matt got here that the attention really turned to Texas. And I give all the credit to T.J. Ford.
Yeah.
I mean, he was that guy that made it cool to go to Texas. When Shea Morenz came here, it wasn't, oh, man, Shea Morenz is here. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
No, but when T.J. Ford from Houston comes in and just turns things around, then you add people like Brad Buckman and
James Thomas, Marcus Aldridge, P.J. Tucker, Daniel Gibson. I mean, we kind of blazed the trail for folks that, you know, think Texas was.
Who was the second one you said?
LaMarcus or P.J. Tucker?
No, not LaMarcus. He was the...
Oh, James Thomas?
Yes, he was the... What was his number?
Zero.
Yeah, I loved him. Yeah.
And dreads up top.
I like his energy. Yeah. I like his energy.
You know, it's funny.
I haven't heard his name in so long.
I know.
I love his energy.
He's living in Austin for a little bit. I don't know if he's still there or not. But T.J. was kind of the pioneer. I mean, you know, him and Boddicker were McDonald's All-Americans.
He had Chris Clack before that.
Yeah, Chris Clack. I mean,
Was Mim...
Mim was not. He was a parade All-American.
That's right. And Axtell.
Yeah, and Luke. I mean, what a high school team that was, man. Yeah. They didn't make it past the first round.
Yeah, we lost in the first round.
Yeah, so it was wild.
I was riding the pine.
Yeah.
When you were on that squad?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to get 2 championships at Westlake, baby.
Listen.
He's
first 2-time champion.
I blew my knee out in the state championship game, so I didn't get to play basketball my senior year.
Yeah.
So
Would you have played?
For support?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, how much?
I wouldn't have started. Josh Armstrong was our starting point guard. But we also, when I would come in to, like, our junior year, me and Matt Matza would come in from the football team.
Yeah.
And we were the strongest guys on the basketball team, right? Like, I would come in. I used to have incredible handles. But when I came in to varsity, I was so much stronger and bigger that I was like,
so we could go to a basketball court and you wouldn't look weird.
No, I was
good. Okay, hey, good. Hey, hey, I just, you know what I mean? I'm cool.
I have
the easiest job in the world as a point guard on that team because all I had to do was throw it up around the rim and either Mim would get it or Axtell would come flying it.
Yeah. That's where you can tell if someone's an athlete.
Yeah.
Because to be an athlete, you got to be able to play multiple sports.
That's right.
If someone can't throw a ball or dribble a ball, it's kind of like, ooh.
We called them athletes and ball players. Ball players play one sport, athletes play multiple sports.
You're right.
So, you know, we broke it down.
I never heard that before.
Yeah. So we've.
The Buckman breakdown there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Me, Adam Grace, and DeMarcus were talking about that.
New segment on the show, the Buckman breakdown.
Yeah, you know? Oh, yeah. But no, to your point, I mean, it was there was mutual respect amongst the entire athletic community at UT during those years. I mean, at one point they had Chris Sims, or no, it was TJ and Stan. I think Stanford and Texas were like the two most dominant schools at that time. And TJ really set the course of where Texas was going to go. And it was the first time Rick Barnes ever allowed someone to have cornrows. He was always wanting everybody to be clean cut. And so TJ came in. He's like, you know what? You can do whatever you want.
Some of the baggy shorts.
Baggy shorts. I mean, you saw the picture of TJ in Milwaukee.
Ankles.
Oh, my God. You look like a little baby. Dude, I'm like, that was the style. Area. Even when you look at the draft class, you go to the pictures of what the suits they wore.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
All
the
bagged
style.
Out.
Oh, bagged out, man. That was a I had a
four
baggy
sizes
suit.
Too big.
Oh yeah, that was
the
look.
Baggier the better. I
exactly.
Guess. The more successful you.
By the way,
and now it's
now
the
it's the tighter. Yeah. The tighter it is.
Yeah, if you can breathe in that thing.
Tight and colorful.
I always stayed medium. My jeans were baggy for a little bit, you know, just because I had big legs. But I had those only jeans I could find. Except for, you know, unless you want to go custom. You know,
hey, hold on. Speaking of this, what about y'all's recruiting trip? What made y'all choose Texas?
I'll let you go.
For me, it was just, I remember talking to Coach Brewster when Vince was at the basketball game like a couple nights before they committed or whatever. You know what I mean? I think it's an all around. It's that Longhorn. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just kind of a kiss my ass. You know?
Yeah,
you wear that thing. You're like, yeah, kiss my ass. But if you're dominant and you have a squad and everyone's like, you know, works. You know, it's fun to be around. Mm-hmm. It's fun to be around people that are all winning.
Yeah,
because everybody has the same like mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Because once you taste the winning, you want to keep winning. You know, it's one of those things. So it's. It was fun to go see them play, and then and then you drink some beers with them, you know.
But you had ties to the University of Texas, so that probably played a role.
Oh, huge! But I mean, it's just the lure of being a Longhorn, and then you know you come here for a recruiting trip, and you know you see all the guys, you know, and you're like, oh, man, it's pretty cool.
And then we turn to Brad, and you know, you come in, and you know, yes, there was a couple, you know, it seemed like the couple years before you guys, you know, it kind of became where. Austinites were staying in town mm-hmm. to go to UT.
Mm-hmm.
Did that play a factor? I mean, seeing people like Chico Vasquez and Chris Clack and Chris Mim like going and playing at the University of Texas, did that even make a difference to you? Or
for me, obviously, the ties start with my pops and my mom. They went to school there, and then they brought me to every game. I was a ball boy with Tom Penders back when I was 10 years old. Yeah. So to see that atmosphere. I mean, it was a different gym back then. That's when they had the ropes that, you know, you weren't on the court.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it was just, to Casey's point, it was just having the Longhorn, the Texas across your chest, being a hometown kid. It was between, it came down between Carolina and Texas. And Texas is a predominantly football school, you know, Carolina's basketball.
All basketball.
So it was just really, and I wanted to be that, you know, that legacy where we changed the course of how basketball is viewed at UT. And it was always a competition, me personally, between us and football, because football was everything. I mean, teachers love football, the fans love football, and Texas was just like the next.
But I did go into one class, and the teacher was like, if you're a football player, you will not pass my class. I stood up, I said, see y'all later. That's how I yelled it loud.
She said
I was like, yeah, I was a guy.
It was tough, man. They didn't like, you know, athletes were frowned upon it some teachers because we were gone a lot. I mean, we had to.
Well, you quickly found out who they were and got transferred.
Yeah, somehow our academic advisor pushed us into the direction of the teachers that got along with
yeah, but
athletes.
that Texas on y'all's chest was, you know,
yeah,
y'all put the.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. But who was all in your class
at that time? It was just me and Ken Polino in that class.
Okay, but who was the year before you and the year after you?
Royal Ivy, James Thomas, Brandon Mouton.
That was the year before you.
That was 2 years before me.
So yeah,
Jason Klotz was he before me?
Yep.
Boddicker was 2 years. He was 2 years older than me.
Yeah. So, but you had Mouton, Royal Ivy, all them guys, and TJ Ford. Like, to come to get to talk to those guys about basketball. I mean, Roy is going to be a freaking head coach here soon.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mouton, I love Mouton.
Mouton was awesome.
He
was
Mouton is like a dad. He's so cool.
He was awesome, man. He just showed up, worked hard. he was late most of the time.
Kenny Taylor from Baylor.
We had a squad, man. It was
Bodiker's hitting them threes.
We really had a team chemistry. I mean, I think Rick was a tough coach, but he kind of made the players better, and we really bonded. Our locker room was super strong, and if someone wasn't a fit, we would somehow find a way to kind of move them out because we were trying to go a direction that, you know, we wanted to put Texas on the map, and eventually we did in 2003. But it was fun. I mean, Texas was just, you know, they did everything.
Gotcha. And you know, today Texas heads to Knoxville to play Rick Barnes and the crew.
I heard what's the head coach of Texas right now? What's his name?
Rodney Terry.
Coach Terry. I heard him talk on the today saying, "Yeah, you know, and he's calling some of the same plays." And he says it's the same name too. I said, "So in basketball, does that not? Because in football, you got to evolve. You can't be doing that. Mm-hmm. Like there's too much." But it's 11 on. So in basketball, it's still kind of. Phil Jackson ran the triangle for.
It's just find the pieces that fit the offense, honestly.
That's really what it is.
It really is. I mean, it's football is so much more antiquated. It's got, you know, different plays, different defenses. Like, we just run pick and roll, and we have shooters, and we have people that can play any system, really. I mean, if you get comfortable with one system, you don't want to change it up because it's really hard to kind of reinvent yourself as a coach if you try to change the offense that frequently. And you don't, you know, it's just once you run something great, you just find
the
players
to their spots. Yeah. Get the ball to them. Hit to make your shots.
Exactly. That's you just find players that fit that deal. That's why when you see some players go into another coach's offense, they don't perform well, and then they go to the pros, and they're like, "Wow, this is, you know, more fit to my style of play."
Gotcha. So they didn't pick their right style of play.
Totally. Like when Shaka Smart came in, they had, you know, Mo Bamba, they had, you know, Jared Allen, they had some great players that were mediocre in my mind because they didn't really stand out in college. But once they got to the pros,
Absolutely.
You know, they flourish because that offense fit to their style.
But see, how as a coach do you not adapt to your players? I mean, that's more football. You have to. But you see that too. I mean, like Vince got screwed in the NFL because they didn't want to adapt to him. Mm-hmm. But now you see all these coaches now adapting to those style of quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, Andy Reid has absolutely formed his offensive system around Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's I think you're right, Casey, that these days you're going to have your system, but you have to put your star players in positions to have success.
Yeah.
So I think
the Shaka's a punk, man. When he left and he said all that crap, man, I go
Havoc.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, we don't have any good." I was like, "The reason why this," I was like, "Shoot, when I was here, the place was rocking. Why? Because we're winning and kicking ass."
Dude,
kissed my ass. And then it's the same thing with Del Conte wanting to do all this Bevo Boulevard BS. He's like, it's like, yeah, just win some freaking ball games. You don't have to do any of that. Save all that money, pay some more coaches in other sports, and get them, keep them here.
It's the toughest
job.
But
he wants to go pay freaking Nelly to come out here. Kiss my ass.
Yeah, it's the toughest job to have, honestly. I mean, our fans are pretty.
When are they going to put Shaka's NIT banner up at the Moody Center?
It's already in there.
It's already in there? I haven't seen it yet. So
champions, baby.
Champs. We peed on it and
burned it. Hey, did they get a ring for the NIT championship?
No, not
they got
in
a,
Texas.
They got a, one of those little candy rings that you get back at
Ring Pops. Ring Pop.
That's all. No one cares about NIT.
You know what? Like, I got to clear up for some people. Like, Craig Way and all them were talking about, you know, banners and this and that, him and Howell or whatever. They're talking about, you know.
Oh, this has been rubbing you for a couple weeks now.
I love it.
But my whole thing is, my whole thing is this, like Ty said something with, that they all threw away their second place trophies, and Craig Way got all mad. It was like get all mad at him. It was like, "Oh my God, what would you?" It was like, "No, because you lost."
Mm-hmm.
What are you? Are you one of those guys that, like, here's your fourth place trophy, third place, and you hang those on the wall? Like, come on. If you're an athlete and do stuff like that, you don't take. And if you're at the University of Texas, you don't celebrate going. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get a ring saying, "Hey, we went to the College World Series." No, that's not Texas. You don't celebrate until you win the championship.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
That's how you create champions.
How you create champions. Yeah, you want to give people these. "Oh, let's have a moral victory," because no, kiss my ass.
Yeah.
That's why America's soft right now. Yeah. And we got to take a quick commercial break. And we'll be right back with some more Big Ugly Tailgate.
Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. Some great conversations going on during the breaks here. Johnny Rogers, we got Benny Buckman.
Say, Pod.
Casey started in the house and joined by legendary lifetime Longhorn Bradley Buckman.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back to Austin, bud.
Hey, man, it's good to be back.
Yeah. What was one of the first things you is there something in Austin or a place or a restaurant or something that you're like, when I get to Austin, I got to go and do this?
Probably Mahdi's. We don't have Tex-Mex in Montana, so just kind of going back to the
Did you go days. With the rock and roll fans?
Just crushing Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah, dude, all day, man.
I'm eating Mexican food for breakfast and lunch, and maybe having margaritas and fajitas for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's three times off, all and day. If I leave Texas for like a couple weeks, I come back and I just, you know, crap through a screen door,
dude.
30 yards. And I crushed touch a wire Whataburger for about 2 weeks, but hey, it's worth it.
Whataburger and Mahdi's is what I crushed when I'm.
Well, and a quick shout out to Jalisco's Los Pinos Jalisco out there on Bee Caves Road that got us these breakfast tacos this
Phenomenal
morning.
Phenomenal tacos,
fantastic. So if you're in Westlake, go out to Jalisco Los Pinos.
Wow.
Out near Bee Caves, fantastic. New owners just bought it and tweaking a couple things on the menu. So went out there a couple weeks ago. And really good food, good atmosphere. They have
is Polvo still the best margarita in Austin, though?
If you're 19 years
yeah,
old.
If yeah, if you want to get hammered.
If you're under 21.
Is that the point of margaritas to get hammered?
Either that or Baby A's. Yeah.
If you're under 21, you go to Polvo's. That was where we went in high school.
Yeah, so there's a Polvo's in my old condo building down at the 360
That's
downtown.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Literally every Thursday and Friday night, it's like they drop off the crush mixer right in front of our building. And it's just like hordes of like college kids going in there, and they're just
printing
throwing
money
down.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And no, Polvo's is the one off South Lamar, is where we went in high school.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, I didn't go.
That
in
was
high
OG.
School.
Yeah, yeah.
We went there because you could just get a whole pitcher of margarita and just put a straw on that bad boy. But got my pitcher, he
this
got
is
your
just
pitcher
for the table.
No, yeah, this is just for me. This is just for me. That's how we did it. Like if there's three of us, three pitchers.
Yeah. You were that generous. You each got your own. That's nice.
We don't need any glasses.
Yeah.
Really? No.
You see how big I am?
when I was
one straw, no, three straws. It comes out faster.
When we
you
were
suck it down faster.
When I was in college, I got a chance to go over and study abroad, and we were in London, and we would go to this club in Leicester Square, and these waiter came over, and he's like, "Hey, we've got this new drink. We'd like to, you know, buy your first round." And we were like, "Awesome, what is it?" And they're like, "Well, it's a cocktail, and it's vodka mixed with this new product that we're just test marketing over here in Europe called Red Bull."
Oh, wow.
They would bring out pitchers.
When was this? In college?
Yes.
When
Red Bull was not out in America.
Wow.
This was February of 2000, the year 2000. And we were at Leicester Square over in London. I think it was the Palladium or Palladium or something like that. But they would bring out pitchers of Red Bull and vodka. And we would have like two of those and just.
Yeah. I mean, why? What are we doing, man?
Yeah.
Why is my heart beating so fast?
And run 7 miles.
This is legal?
Yeah.
I know.
It was, I mean,
you sure I'm not going to test positive on a drug test?
And I had never drank coffee before,
Did
really.
Did you lace this?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is this? And they're like, it's an energy drink.
Yeah.
And
why am I grinding my teeth?
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Johnny is sweating right now.
Let's keep walking. What's crazy is I can't do Red Bull. There is a Red Bull party here for South by Southwest, and I was in there with, like, Laura and Phil Brown, and Bun B and all of them were in there, and I had, like, two of them, and I was like, well, I can't do I can't do energy drinks. I can't do it.
Yeah,
but back to football real quick, or back to Texas. CB Texan said in 2004 it was a national controversy when we lost to Cal State Fullerton when we didn't accept the second place trophy. But that's what it is. That's Texas.
Do we need to accept the trophy?
No, absolutely not. There's another Texan said my kids don't keep trophies unless it says champs or first place.
Well, we had a friend that lost in the Wimbledon. He comes home and throws the plate in the grass for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, these
and
days
and that's the Wimbledon. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That's how serious if you've never been in that, if you've never played sports at a high level, shut up. You have no opinion.
Yep.
No, I agree. I mean,
because you never experienced that. You never gone through. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why we have people like Casey and Brad here, because they did play sports. Me and Ben were in the stands just having a good time.
I was one of the best in the stands. Oh, I can tell you that. Oh,
so Bradley, he really got kicked out of high school games?
Oh, dude,
five of them.
My dad asked him to you know, text him or call him every quarter to like, hey, what's going on? What's the update? He was his go-to guy. Ben was like, going to be my dad's boots on the ground. And then within the, like, I think before even the game started, like a couple minutes into the game, gone. Like,
gone.
It wasn't him, it was my mom, too. So it was, they were
Mama
intense.
B.
Should have been talking crap. Oh, man. Oh, you know what I mean?
Did y'all see where Robert Horry got kicked out of his kid's game last night?
Yeah, dude, I bet.
For yelling at the refs?
That's what happened to me. He had four fouls.
I don't,
in the first.
First 30 seconds is what you said.
Yeah, first 2 minutes.
I didn't have that many, but the worst job in the world is a high school referee.
Can't win.
You can't win in that game, man.
Especially when it's highly competitive, good basketball.
Exactly. And then, you know, you put a fouls on, there's the best player on the team, and, you know, then you got your brother who doesn't agree with half the calls, so he's tossed.
Y'all have a...
Yeah. I'm on the side like, shut up.
I know. I'm like, you're looking at me. I know it's my brother.
I wonder if Relamp's guy cut my legs because of your ass.
Oh, this kid one time tried to do that to Brad, and I went over there. Went over on the bench, went on him. I looked at the vice principal. I waved at him and walked out.
Yeah, it was. it was Ben's show, and I just happened to be.
No, I mean the kid is—he's a McDonald's All-American. Yeah, you can't cut the kid's legs
out. You gotta love that your brother really.
Oh yeah, he had my back.
Could you hear Ben like in college when you were playing? Could you hear because his voice carries.
Oh,
like you can hear a Buckman coming before you can see him.
You just hoped he was actually watching the game. He was Mayor McIrwin.
Yeah, Mayor McIrwin. I would see him just walking up and down the aisle, shaking hands, kissing baby.
Oh,
yeah,
all day long.
Pausing for photos.
Stop.
I mean,
Ben had more fun than I did. That's for sure.
Hey, when I came back, I at the basketball games.
Oh.
Go underneath. What was that little. Right. Was it the alumni thing?
Oh, yeah.
Underneath right there.
Where the drinks are.
That was always nice. Some of you used to always get us in there. We used to go back there and just suck
Rob Lazar from our equipment.
Going back real quick to your time at Texas and getting to play for Rick Barnes. Tell me a little bit about that. How was playing for Rick? I mean, he's still around and he's still coaching at a pretty high level. Did you see his career, you know, going this long? Or?
I did. I mean, the guys, when it comes to X's and O's, he's really smart. I think, you know, the hardest thing was Rick was not the easiest person to be around. You start to realize now, 20 years later, that how important these jobs are to the coaches as well. And they live, eat, and breathe coaching. I mean, that guy never saw his family. He was in the gym longer than we were, breaking down film. And so the stress was not only on the players, it was on the coach. So he wanted a perfect game, and we watched film 2 hours for 2.5 hours after, you know, the next day after the game. And it was the longest 2.5 hours of our lives. Like every, from when you start to dribble the ball to passing to
how many times did he pause
rebounds.
On you?
Oh my God. He had that.
The clicker?
Clicker that stopped and
is
started
the
game. Oh,
so like
I don't want to rewatch games that I played terrible in. But like,
so isn't the worst? So the worst is when you know you're gonna get. So for football, it's like you know you're gonna. You have them in your head already. You're like, oh my God! And you know when the play's coming up, you're like. But the worst. So it sucks in your own
I'm
team.
I'm sweating thinking about it.
Yeah. Right? So it sucks in your position room. But if you really mess up and it's like a game changer. Then the head coach highlights it in front of the whole team. That's when it's really embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you're like, but that's when you, as an athlete, as a professional, you're like, I'm never going to do that again.
No. I mean,
I'm fixing that today.
Yeah.
Like, but what is it, just being called out in front of your like teammates?
I'm talking like the head coach, do five plays, the reason why we lost.
Mm-hmm.
These need to get better plays.
And you feel
Casey,
you feel
what
this
the hell
small,
are you doing on this play?
Yeah.
And they just say your name. I mean, your whole team's in there. Your peers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, that they don't do that in college. They didn't really do the whole team in college like that.
Yeah.
And the pros, they're let you know.
Yeah.
And then, but the next week, you fix that, he'll be like, this is what a professional is.
Yeah.
And then he'll praise you. He's not going to, you know, that's how Kuba was, you know.
Oh, you got praised?
Yeah.
It must have felt nice.
He went 20 for 20 and 18. He's like, next time you get that.
That was the only time when I had 27 and 21 against Colorado. That was the only time coach was like, great job. Like, that was the only time. Even when I beat Oklahoma State, or we beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State.
You had 20 something.
I had 27 and 9, and I fouled the guy. Because we were up by three with less than 10 seconds left, and so I didn't want him to score three. So I fouled the guy at half court, and it just happened he'd be shooting at the same time. Oh. So they gave him three free throws, and fortunately he missed one out of the three, so we ended up winning. But it was like I had the best game, but then I felt like I almost lost the game.
One play.
And then I heard it in the locker room, I always dreamt of a coach that would – tear you down to make you better, but then bring you up at some point.
Yeah.
But Rick was just he
he never
was,
brought you
no,
back up.
No, he was a perfectionist, man. I kid you not. If you go back and watch or just a few games from when I played, if you missed a shot, missed a rebound, just look at the bench, and every player will look at the bench and see another guy just come right to midcourt to sub you out. So it was.
Imagine it was hard to get in a rhythm.
Oh my, it was impossible. Until like my junior year when we really only played seven guys, that I knew I had, you know, I had a good rapport with my coach. Like he knew, you know, he earned his stripes. If we messed up, we're going to give him another chance. But the first 2 years, whew.
Yeah. And we had a deep bench, though. Yeah, but I mean, that's my first play in football. My dad's, Alex Gibbs, he was my dad's O-line coach. That's how old he was. That's how long he was in the league. First thing he says to me is get good or get gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's what it is growing through those first couple of years.
It is. It's a fine line, man.
It sucks.
It does.
I should be playing more, but then there's those two plays where it's like, well, I can't trust you.
No. Like, but mentally, how do you prepare for that? Because you're coming out of high school, great career, you know, going into the next level. Like
get better.
Yeah.
Drawing board, get better.
Yeah.
More like, shots, more free throws, more this.
Yeah.
Fix that.
It really is. And that's the difference between, you know, college and the pros, is to be able to move past your bad plays and on to the next one. And I think that was the hardest thing for me, was to move on, because I wanted to play perfect. And then you can't move past the mistakes that you made. And it was funny, LaMarcus was the one that really kind of gave me an idea of, like, you know, these guys got to play you too. You got to look at yourself like you're better than the next guy. And then I just was always thinking about the bad plays that I just did in the previous plays.
It's hard because you know you're going to get it in film room.
Yes.
But our main thing was that my dad always told me was never let one bad play turn into two bad plays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's like, it goes in football. You got to let that crap go. Next play you go out and you just crush it.
Yeah.
You just go kill it.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but Rodney Terry was on that staff too.
He was, yeah.
So what was your interaction, and what did you think about him as coach?
I thought he was great. He was a good dude. I mean, so Frank Haith was our associate head coach at that time. And so Rodney kind of was, you know, our third and fourth assistant coach. And he, you know, he ran practices, kind of called fouls, and he didn't have much of a voice like he does now, but he was really smart. I enjoyed being around him. He was great with the players. When you talk to him, he'd listen and he'd give you some advice, and he really stuck by you. And you can see it now with his guys that are on the floor now. Like, they trust Coach. He's been there, you know, he's been a head coach for a while. He's, you know, he's been around the game for a long time. And
right.
So I think he took the great things that Rick taught him and took him to another head coaching job down the road, and now he's back where he kind of started, and, you know, you can start to see he gets it, and his players are responding well.
Yeah, seems like the players are responding because, I mean,
they're playing
some good basketball.
You know, when a situation like what just happened with Coach Beard, usually the team gets deflated, and, you know, the whole year kind of shifts to a negative tone, and Coach Terry and the coaching staff at UT has done a great job of bringing the guys together. I'm sure they talk about it. They hear about it all the time.
Oh yeah, they get that all the time. You know, the media is ruthless. The media sucks.
Especially when they go on the road, and
I'm sure
those fans just highlight it every chance they get.
People all out there in like jail outfits and stuff like that.
Probably, yeah, they do it up. I'm sure, man. And so you've got to, you know, not battle only yourselves in the locker room, but your opponents when they know this is the way to get in your head mentally. But no, Coach Terry and the coach staff have done a great job. I'm proud of the boys, and I look forward to seeing the showdown tonight in Knoxville, right? Is that where it is?
Yeah.
Battle in Knoxville.
Yeah. And
Battle of UT.
I know, to see a former assistant coach, now head coach, go against his previous coach.
But that's the thing, though, is what makes Coach Terry able to step in that role is because he's been in the game, been around the game for so long, been a head coach. He
started at St. Ed's out here.
You know what I mean? So he understands players. He understands relationships. He understands how to get what out of players. So I think that's a good thing.
And Beard did a good job of setting the tone already from the beginning. I mean, he really brought those
coming into
Moody together.
Center, brand new arena.
I mean, that's honestly, I think, what's going to be the biggest benefit to his success. Hopefully, he stays at Texas, but he's got to win. I mean, unfortunately, there's. The head coach at Arkansas is potentially up for a new job. John Calipari from Kentucky is up for a new job.
See, I don't think John Calipari would be a good coach down here.
I mean, Texas, as you know, they want to go after the big names. Yeah, Calipari's done well in his career. He's one of the highest paid head coaches in college sports, and so you got some headwinds coming against you with some prime coaches. That potentially will come out and see what the market looks like this summer. But I really wish the best for Coach Terry, not only because I have a personal relationship with him, but if they continue to do what they do, they're top 10 right now.
Yeah, sit at the top of the Big 12.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. But if they make a run and do this, there's no reason why they don't hire him.
I agree, and that's his
and so it's on him. This is his resume.
It really is.
This is on him. If he goes out there and he performs, I don't see them getting rid of him.
No, they shouldn't, man.
They shouldn't, because it wasn't like that. He took over right before that. He took over at the beginning of the damn season.
Yeah,
with a team that was started off number two in the year. You know what I mean? And
9-2 right now.
Yeah.
And he's been back. You know how hard the Big 12 is? The Big 12's always been strong.
It's the best conference in basketball.
Who were the guys on Oklahoma State? Those shooters.
Joey Graham. Steve.
Did they have some brothers, too? Like two brothers that were on their team, too?
That was Joey Graham. Steve and Joey Graham.
Yeah.
And then
you had Oklahoma
John Lucas.
Oklahoma had he played forever for the Clippers. Griffins. Both Griffin brothers. Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was but
that was
those
guys after me.
That was after him.
That was after me.
Yeah, the Grahams.
Yeah, the Graham brothers were
there.
Yeah,
the Graham brothers, they were
Tony Allen from Celtics was on that team.
That's right.
Yeah, from the for Oklahoma State. They had a squad, man. They were
cool.
Top 10.
Eddie Sutton, legendary coach.
Yeah. I mean, it's named after, but Oklahoma State was the hardest place to play.
Ever since
James Thomas incident, where guy choked TJ and James jumped over the front row and started swinging, that made that going there and playing at Oklahoma State even harder, man.
That was when in 2006.
Oh, you gotta love it, dude.
Because a lot of people hate going. Oh my God, it's gonna be hostile. No, as an athlete, it's the greatest thing.
Yeah, it's what you want.
It's what you want. Coach, I love when people are talking crap, and then you got these people like. And you got LeBron being soft as hell, kicking fans out of the game. Oh my God!
Yeah. Sounds like Elway.
He said, "I suck at shooting a three ball."
Yeah,
I mean, in 2006, that was when Brokeback Mountain came out.
Oh, jeez,
and the entire arena was yelling "Brokeback Buckman" the entire time.
Ben loves to repeat that story.
And now he's out in Montana. Just a little foreshadowing.
Fans were wrong.
I'm here for my baby Shadowbird, gentlemen.
Yeah, I should have listened to him.
Yeah.
No, but then you had then, and where was the game where Drew Gressett got hit by a beer bottle?
Oh, that was
Seton Hall.
Ooh, no,
Mighty Fire.
Hat Creek.
Sorry. Hat Creek.
And Providence.
Providence. That's right. That's where Coach Barnes used to coach.
Yeah, and so that was a hostile.
PJ Tucker comes up and makes a last minute layup.
It was weird because the clock went zero, but that red light behind the goal is actually the milliseconds. And so you can see the ball leaving the hand, and the clock reads zero, but the red light hadn't started yet. So it took about 2 minutes, 3 minutes to kind of the referees discuss how this outcome going to happen. And then as soon as they say game over, Texas wins, basket counts, the Providence fans went nuts. And that's the time when the bottles still had the tops to them. So they were throwing bottles. So one bottle came flying in and hit Drew right in the nose and
really
broke his nose. I mean, his nose was bleeding all over his jersey, his face, everything. And I'm Todd Wright, our strength coach. He had our back, man. He had this Providence fan's face trying to squeeze through the metal poles. that separate the fans to the court.
No mess with Todd Ryan.
Oh man, and his veins awesome. In his neck pop out. Like, he was not having it. And then Dressett's dad comes down on the floor and starts.
Old Jimmy.
Know, oh, it was mayhem.
And everyone just get to the locker room.
Oh, we were at people. We were guarding our head. Like it was.
Was that about the wildest scene you'd been through?
One of the wildest, for sure.
New Orleans.
In New Orleans, yeah, that was pretty wild.
And I want to get into that because I want to talk about New Orleans. I want to talk about Carmelo and all of that. But we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate.
You can call me Al.
You sure can.
Wow.
A Team Buckman favorite here on the Big Ugly Tailgate.
Shout out to Brent Buckman for the old You Can Call
Mr.
Me
Al. Mr. B.
That's it.
How's Mr. B doing?
Mr. B's back in action.
Hell yeah.
He had a month. He had a week before Thanksgiving that kind of threw us for a loop.
He's back.
Papa B's back.
Can't hold that guy down.
No, yeah, man. He's good.
The legend.
Of course. I mean... He's Ben's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know? Yeah, I mean.
Hey, the old nickname, Sabob.
Yeah, Sabob.
Son of Brent, brother of Brad.
Old Sabob.
I think I've changed it up a little bit, though, for Bradley. Mm-hmm. He can't go anywhere now.
You know, Ben is my shepherd. Comes to everything Austin now.
No doubt. He's the best host
he is,
in
man.
Town.
Hey, if you need a reservation from ABBA, call Ben. He's your guy.
No doubt. Well, before we jump to the break, we were talking a little bit about your time at Texas and, you know, especially that run to the Final Four back in, what, 03?
20 years ago this year.
I know.
Did you guys kind of know that you had something special, or at what point during the season were you guys like, man, we're pretty good?
Probably the Big 12 tournament, we lost to Texas Tech in their first round, and it was kind of the spark that we needed. We were tired. We had lost very little games, and we were a lot of expectations. And we knew we had done a great job during the regular season to solidify a number one spot in the tournament. But we needed something to be like, hey, we're not invincible. So it really kind of was a catalyst for us to really take.
Y'all needed that break too, though, huh?
We did. Oh man, Big 12 tournament is.
It's grueling. It's hard.
It's tough, dude. If you finish the season, you know, you're hoping to go get a little time off, and then the March Madness starts. So, you know, even when you lose in the first round of the Big 12 tournament, it's you're just glad to be done. I mean, obviously we wanted to win it, but if you're going to give it a try, you're going to want to do it the first day.
Yeah, you want to go the first game or second game, you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, but then, you know, we had a special group. I mean, TJ was our captain, you know, James Mouton, Royale, Boddicker, Klotz, you know, we had a deep bench. I think we were 12 deep. So we almost had that Calipari where you could do five in, five out. But we knew it was going to be a tough one. I mean, Kansas was in our conference. They were really good. You know, the best time of the year is March Madness. I mean, to be able to be in it and play in it is an unreal experience, but it was really, you know, things really start in March. You get everything prepared for in the regular season, but you know it all matters in the NCAA tournament.
As an 18, 19-year-old freshman, are you prepared to play in front of that many people?
Not at all.
In that big of a stage?
I mean, the greatest thing is you go to like neutral sites. So I think we start out in Alabama in the 64 and 32, and we've got Purdue, and I forgot who our first team was. So the excitement's there. You know, everybody's, you know, it's one and done. And some people are their season, some players, it's their senior year, so this is their last hurrah in their jersey. And so the stakes are high. You know, everybody's running for you. You're the number one seed. And you don't want to be that guy who messes it up and loses in the first round. And you're the laughing stock for, you know, at least a couple of years. And so. We really, you know, winning by one, winning by 10, it didn't matter. I mean, as long as you won.
Survive, advance.
Survive and advance, to your point. And so we just took every game. You know, Coach did a great job preparing us. We were ready. We had an older team that had been to the Sweet 16 in 2001. had a lot of momentum, and you know, having a guy, I don't think people realize how important a point guard is to the success of your team, and having a guy like TJ who ran the offense, had Rick's confidence, like no bit, like he could do whatever he wanted, and he just basically every game was like, we got this. Like, look, he looked at each player and said, hey, you want this or not? And everybody bought into it, and we got to San Antonio, which
That was
being
awesome.
A hometown team, it was unreal. We were in the Superdome. It was 30,000 Texas fans, 2,000 to 3,000 Michigan State and UConn fans. Like, it was a home court advantage.
And
you heard it every time out, you know, every halftime. Like, you can't really hear fans when you're in the game, but, like, during the break, you can hear them. And they were electric.
Yeah.
And so having the number one seed and getting the San Antonio pull, there was no question we had a chance to go to Final Four.
Like, you know,
it was ours to lose.
And as a brother, as a freshman, going up against the Michigan State stack team, you had UConn,
Emeka Okafor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And to watch my brother dominate was unreal.
Awesome. It was really, that was kind of where it was like, well, shoot, I got, you know, it's me to shine. It's like,
let's go.
Freshman, it was so, and Rick, I had the starting job, and, you know, I had two tough initial games in the 64 and 32, and then I was just like, no, I'm comfortable now, and
it just kind of took off
from there. But getting to New Orleans was one of the most surreal experiences.
Yeah,
you know, you watch it as a kid, you see it on TV, and then you're there, and you're like, wow, like you got every heavy news station, you've got, you know, you're doing interviews prior,
press.
Like you're doing warm-ups and the day before, and it's, you're really just taking it all in, and you've got Final Four material like everywhere. Like you go down to New Orleans, everybody's there for the Final Four.
So yeah, Ben still wears his T-shirt.
I still got my chair from the Final Four.
Nice.
So it was you know, as a kid, this is your dream, and you know, we had Marquette with Dwayne Wade in there. We had Kansas with Kirk Heinrich and their big dude Collison and Keith Langford, and then you have Syracuse that was, you know, they ran his own offense zone defense that had Craig Ford, Dwayne, Akeem Warwick, Carmelo Anthony, and Jerry McNamara. Like,
they had
a squad.
Yeah,
and
McNamara he could hit from like
anywhere.
He could hit from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like
and
half
he was
court,
consistent.
Quarter, quarter. Yeah, like, you had to
guard every player, unfortunately. And you know, Carmelo Anthony and I were both McDonald's All-Americans, so I knew how special he was. But they just couldn't miss. I mean, I think he had 33 and 13, and I think we put every player on him possible.
Yeah.
And it just we couldn't find it.
Oh,
we couldn't figure out a way.
And it's kind of like TCU playing Georgia the other
exactly.
week.
No, I don't think it's that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
No, we were in it. We were in it until the end.
I'm pretty sure that getting TCU
not a good comparison. Not a good comparison.
He just wanted to throw that in there. For the last 2 weeks, he's been holding on to
You know what? That was great. Great 2003. Let's talk about 2022 and the TCU Georgia debacle that showed up. No, it was everything I'd expected and more. It was memories that last a lifetime. I obviously can tell my kids our banners in the Moody Center, and it's not going. There's only two Final Fours, and one was back in the 40s, I think.
Right.
So,
no, I mean, I remember watching that game. It was insane. But then you're like, but you look at it, you're like, yeah, Carmelo
Anthony, yeah,
you see him play, and you're like, okay, that's a special player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then a couple years later, we get Kevin Durant, and it's like, okay, that's a special player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really see, you know, TJ Ford was there, but those two they're just on that next little bit, like, of a level where you're like, wow.
And they made Texas popular, man. Like,
yeah.
But I got to say, though, my best memories of college was when we all won the championship in 2005. Never seen downtown Austin like that. This one dude showed me, he got a tattoo of the tower from his middle of his arm to his to his wrist of just winning that champ with the one on it.
So like, you were here in Austin when
I was
happened.
Here in Austin. Okay. We were going to Memphis, I think, the next day. And it was
January, you know, they're
electric.
Already
in season. Yeah, we're already in season. And I had chills when the clock read zero and we knew we won it. And it was honestly
mayhem.
It made my college career because we had won a gosh damn national championship at Texas, which Yeah. Football runs this city. Yeah. Football runs this state. And to be able to achieve that, and then you obviously got a hero's welcome when you guys came in. Yeah. And then it was like Texas basketball was great and Texas football was great. And the entire city, you couldn't get it. There was no seat in the house for a football game. There was no seat in the house for the basketball game.
They were camping out for the basketball game.
Oh, my God.
Camping out for the basketball.
And we always wanted to compete with Texas football because we knew we had to regardless. We were always going to – our fan base wasn't as big. But to have – you guys win a championship and then them go straight to watching basketball. The best 2 years of my life were my junior and senior year.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. You're listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn.